prepare. You can talk to me about answers later. But John has not done his test, so we can't go over them right now. All right? Roman numeral 3, page... I've got page 15 quickly. And you thought it was going to be boring lectures. I did. All right. The preparation of the heart for the call of God is your fill-in. Has everybody got their page?
Sorry, where are we?
Do you have page 15?
Planet Earth.
Section 2.
Oh, yeah, missions.
Yeah, we're in missions now. In addition, you should be on the call of God to the ministry of the Word.
Yeah.
So you should be on page 15, is that right? Do you have 15?
Yeah.
All right, the preparation of the heart for the call of God.
Missions 2, you got it last week, yeah.
Okay, now the sovereignty of God, who wants to define that? Eric, sovereignty of God.
God's in control of everything, it's not my time.
Okay, now understanding the control part, does he control every minutia of detail? Does he deal with every atom and electron? Does he force you to think a certain way and do certain things? No.
Okay, you got me there.
But sovereignty means he still is in control. He actually controls outcomes. Yes, Weston?
Yeah, no, I was just sort of Sam says that he's in control, is he controlling the child and spoiled on the palaces to...
I don't remember that. But he may have designed spiders so they kill all the bugs in the palace, yes. So anyway, the sovereignty of God is constantly preparing the heart of every man to serve God. Underline that words. Did you know every person on this planet was designed for God's pleasure and to do God's will? Underline A. The preparations of the heart is your fill-in. The sovereignty of God is constantly preparing the heart of every person to serve God. It's man's responsibility to respond to that call and to obey it. We may compare the call of God to a telephone call. It means nothing to a deaf person. Think about that. The call of God is like a telephone call. It's not funny. It's like a deaf person at the receiver's end. No matter how distant, specific, and individual the call from the other end may be, when the ear is closed and the mind are preoccupied and the will and purpose set, a man is outside of hearing distance and the call of God will never reach him. So it's just like you and your wife. If you're not listening, no matter what she says, no matter how much she nags, it's not going to get through. Amen? Same thing with the will of God. You know, God doesn't nag, but he does prod, he does pull, he does try to get you to do his will. Number two, many people never receive a call from the Lord, not because the Lord is not calling, but simply because they're not within calling distance, they're out of reach, they're not listening, they're not paying attention. We must prepare our hearts for the call of God. Does God call everybody to be preachers?
No.
Does God call everybody to be husbands?
No.
Does God call everybody to be rockets? No. But God calls everyone. There is something that God calls you and designed you to do. In the Catholic Church, they had what was called the vocation, and the clergy, and then the laity. And only the elite were called to serve God, and the rest were called to serve the elite. And that's wrong. Every person has the call of God. Yes, sir?
Can this be called an elite? You know, like, when you see some Christians at the top, like, just living in our belief, like, getting married and all that, like, and just, you know, just witnessing that and going to walk and just going to talk to things. Is that a call?
Yes. Let me say it this way. Is every body on this planet called to serve God in some way? He gives gifts for us to use. We call them talents, but really the proper term is a gift of mercy, the gift of ruling, the gift of giving. And yeah, that's how I serve God. Some, through the gift of preaching, through the gift of ruling, management. Okay? You can manage a company for God. Okay?
Okay. What about those Christians that are just sitting back, just go to church on a Sunday and they don't really get involved in the church?
They're backslid, what we call them. They're carnal, they're selfish. And they're missing out on what God designed them to be. Okay? It's like a Ferrari. You're driving on an Irish back road. Mm-hmm. It was not meant to drive on the back road. Number C, For this we make several suggestions. One, make sure your body has become a living and sanctified sacrifice in the Lord. Romans 12:1-2. Make sure your body has become a living and sanctified sacrifice, a living sacrifice in the Lord. Two, make sure there is no conscious sin dulling your spiritual ear and your spiritual sight. Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians 1:18. Let's see, Andrew, Ephesians 1:18. We'll go my left.
Ephesians 1:18.
The
eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling.
Go ahead and switch it off.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Wow. So sometimes our eyes have to be opened. Okay. So we're looking at, you need to make sure that there is nothing dulling your eyesight or your ears. What did he call it when he says your ears have grown waxed? Dull of hearing. This full of goop instead
wax
of being able to hear.
Gross, is it?
It's wax gross. But, you know, this ear wax, the more ear wax you get in there, the harder it is to hear. I've actually met people who had lost their hearing, and doctors went in and with hot oil, just dropped hot oil in there, dissolved the wax, dumped it out, and they're like, I can hear whispers. And it's amazing how it can clog up our ear canal.
What clogs up our ear
canal? Earwax. Ear wax. But I'm just saying, it's amazing that when Jesus said your ears have waxed gross, used the term wax.
I meant to say what clogs up our spiritual hearing.
Okay. Usually, it is a spiritual, and I'm thinking about preaching on Sunday night, it is our ability to sense things, our sensitivity. We become desensitized. Like when I talked about conscience, and we can sense people's needs or whatever. And the Bible talks about in Proverbs, it says, when a man closes his ear to the poor and the needy, God closes his ear to us. Okay? That's a principle, it's not the words exactly. But the idea is we make choices that close our ears. We say, I'm not listening. And then sin in our life actually dulls, it actually fills our ears. When we're listening to rock music, to when we're listening to complaining, and we agree with it, when we're listening to people. And all of the mindset that they have, we're not going to be listening to God, because God says he has a still, very still, small voice. You have to be very good at listening to hear his voice. So make sure there's no conscience sin dulling your spiritual ear and your spiritual sight. Three, make sure there is no preconceived personal plans and preferences. What would that be, Barry?
Good. God wants you to be a preacher.
That's right. And you know what? You can actually make it so that God can't get through to you because you got your own. I just thank God. I mean, I had plans to be an aerospace engineer, go into the space shuttle program, do something up in space somehow. But I saw at that point, back when I was 30 years ago, it was 4.5 billion people going to hell. And in a heartbeat, I says, God, if you can use me, I'm available. I don't have to go to space. I'd rather do whatever. Somebody would say, oh man, I'm not going to trade what I want for what God may be calling me to do. I didn't answer God's call. You know what I did? I made myself available to God's call. There's a D there. Look at D. D should be actually the next number. It should be 4. Make sure you obey God how often? And gladly in the little things of everyday life. God cannot call a disobedient Christian. I think God called Jonah because he was obedient. He didn't stay obedient, did he? Jonah disobeyed God. But God calls obedient people. That doesn't mean that we always obey. But if you want to hear God's call, make sure you are already obeying God. And I'm telling you, there are people who come up to me and would say, I believe God's calling me to move here or to go there. And I go, good, you're not obeying me. You're not obeying your what God's called you to do here. And you want to go do it there? It's sort of the heart that's calling them, not God. Number 4, practice. This is a good point. Practice obedience to God and man. Practice obedience. Why do I say practice? Does obedience come natural? Today I am practicing obedience. Boy, you've already got it. Well done. Practice obedience. Number 5, make sure you are willing to go and be used anywhere. Make sure you are willing to go. And I'm skipping a lot of this so we can do through time. Number five is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Why would it be hard, John? Why would it be hard to be willing to go anywhere?
A lot of things for fear, for uncertainty. You just got to be sure that God called you there.
Your trust in God will be tested. Not by, I believe God's called me to the Irish. Well, that's easy. Mm-hmm. Right? They already speak English. All right? But what if God called you to Afghanistan? What if he called you someplace? And,
I
mean,
thinking Afghanistan would be the worst before you said it.
Yeah.
What's your goal back?
Well, the point is this. We say we're willing until we find out. Then we fight it. Make sure you're willing to go and be used anywhere. Form the habit of daily prayer, Bible study, and private meditations before the Lord. Can I encourage you? You can't go with God until you walk with God. All right? It must be. Do you not have the pages, John? I had enough for everybody. Here we go. That's it.
Yeah, they were.
That's it. That's it. I think that's it.
I think I saw a statement that said that it's sinful not to pray to God.
Amen.
It's sinful not to pray to God.
Number seven, form the habit of waiting patiently upon the Lord and expect Him to direct every step of your everyday life and doing. Now, God doesn't expect you to be perfect. You know, I don't want you to think that the call of God is only on perfect people. Good night, or else I would not be here. But you know, if you don't know where God wants you and you don't know what God wants you to do, I would surely make so much effort where I learn to trust Him for every step of my way. I learn to trust Him because somehow I'm gotten out of His calling distance. Somehow I've gotten cold or indifferent or whatever. So if I just get to say, Lord, show me what to do today, then He can show you what to do with the rest of your life. Number eight, study carefully the Word of God relative to the purposes of God for the Christian life and the Christian church. The purposes of God. Why don't you study the purpose of God? Let's look at a few of these. Look at Psalm 119:11, John.
The word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Okay. So the purpose of the word in my heart is to keep me from sinning. But did you know the purpose of the Word of God in my heart is also is to get me to serve. Look at 104 and 105. Yes.
Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
Wow, false way meaning false direction, false path I go along. Verse 105.
Their word is lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path.
Okay, so now those are very general. I'm not actually showing you, but studying Joseph. Did Joseph, young Joseph, have a hard time going down God's will?
I suppose he never said, I was called to Egypt.
Yeah. Very good. I'm sure he didn't enjoy it. But when I say hard will, hard time, it's kind of, he never fought it. But I guarantee you, he wasn't pleased with it.
Right.
Okay. So study how he did God's will. He did it without murmuring and complaining, didn't he? Wow. And he says, I might as well serve God where he has me. Isn't that breathtaking? Mm-hmm. Everywhere he went, he said, I believe I'm supposed to be in charge. I believe I'm supposed to be prince. I believe I'm supposed to be this. But God has me in a prison. Well, I guess I'll serve him here. That is studying the purposes of God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Daniel as well. That's awesome. Daniel.
I wouldn't doubt it. I hadn't thought about it, but yes. It is similar where it costs him to serve God, yes.
Joseph wasn't without fear, or like,
no, he had fear.
Screaming when the guys threw him into the pit.
He wasn't happy.
He was depressed when the butler didn't.
He had emotions. So touch on those emotions, but touch also on his resolve to still serve God in purpose, even though it didn't seem like what he wanted. Mm-hmm. That's the contrast. Purpose of God versus my own design, my own purposes. Mm-hmm. Number nine, study carefully the great spiritual needs of our day and prepare to meet them. What are the great needs of our world today. Adalberto, what do you think?
The great need of our world today. Reaching out the lost.
Okay, reaching the lost, but what is its need?
Salvation.
It needs salvation, but I think there is a need before that. What do you think, Dan?
Excellent.
They don't even know God. They don't know God. We read it in 2 Thessalonians. It says, taking vengeance on them that know not God. The wrath of God is coming on them who don't even know Him. They need to know God. Now, we can go with the gospel and say, you need to be born again. Mm-hmm. I don't think I need to be born again. They have no need to be born again. But they do have a need in their heart, I'm talking about. But they have a need to know God. And they're like, can you show me God? Prove to me there's a God. Yes, sir.
Can you class them, just your Catholic, can you class them as not knowing God?
Who's them?
The Catholic.
Yeah. When I talk to them heart to heart, 90% of them, they don't know God. They don't even know if there is a resurrection. They don't know if there is, if He's up there, wherever He is, He doesn't know. So they don't know the God of the Bible.
And
that's for sure.
I'm Catholic because of where we live.
Yeah.
You know, if I go to Belfast, like with the Protestant area, I don't have to say, I know.
People are religious. This people draw a line on me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Yes, Wes.
But to know Him, you have to be saved.
No, hold on.
Because if
No. The Jews knew God, but enough to know that He's there. I'm not saying know Him. Even Paul says that I may know Him. So there's always a growing process of knowing Him. But I know what you're saying, where you'll never know Him until you get saved. Yeah. True. But I'm talking about people need to know Him, that He is righteous, holy. He will judge. He is coming. You better flee from the wrath to come. That's what John the Baptist preached. And they were not saved. And he's trying to get them to know the God of the Bible, not the God of Judaism. See, the God of Judaism, which is what every Jew believed at that in John the Baptist's day, they believed, well, God must be very pleased with us. We have the Pharisees. Wow, we have our own partial government. We can determine the day-to-day operations. The Romans have let us have our own temple, we have all, and they thought God was happy with them. And John the Baptist says, you better run, because God's wrath is coming, and His Messiah is coming now. They didn't know God. So when I say know God, I mean know Him, like the Bible says, so that they want Him.
Yeah, it's just that in Romans 1, it says that when they knew God,
they glorified Him not as God. Yeah.
And
they became
the
thing.
In unrighteousness. But there's a difference there, like between knowing God and
obeying God.
Yeah.
Or following Him. It's a generic statement of knowing God, not just knowing about Him. I want them to know Him, and I can open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. I want them to want the light. I want them to know they can be free.
Like in Romans 1, it seems like if they knew who real God was.
As children. All people know God, that there's a God as a child.
But it doesn't say it.
It's almost certainly, it is a concept of, everybody starts out knowing there's a God, but when they grew up, is what I'm saying, they decide there is no God, or they start worshiping the creature. He's dealing with the Gentiles primarily, saying they used to know God and they walked away from God, Abraham's day, so on and so forth. But everybody starts off, a child would accept that there's a God. He doesn't believe in God, meaning he doesn't get saved, but they all believe that there is a God. And but I'm talking about, here's an adult, and this generation does not know God. And Jesus even prays in John 17, and He says, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. So that's why I like that term. It says, people need to know God. You know, we want people to get saved, but nobody's going to get saved until they know who it is that saves and why God saves. They need to know the God of the Bible, so they fear Him. Verse 12. Ten. Yeah, thank you. You need a vision of the world. You need to know how the world really is. If we all took a mission trip to, let's see,
Iran.
No. I want to go someplace.
We're going to mission then.
Let's go to a mission field. Let's go to Thailand. Okay, and go. And there are. There are literally, or you can go to India, there are literally down the street, one street, you will pass by little bitty portable idol trailers, little bitty things that have thousands of gods that people are buying. And as you walk along, you hear people selling gods. And as you walk along in there, the incense smells the streets. And in their homes, they're all bowing to huge corners of their house filled with hundreds of little bitty statues and gods. You can't just go there. You must be born again. They'll American. You better know what their need is. You better know, get a vision and say, these people don't know God. They have no idea who he is. They think that they're trying to find the one God, just like Paul did in Acts chapter 16. And says, the one you missed, the unknown God I'm going to talk to you about. So it's having a vision for the world as it really is. Number 10, spend much time in intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer for the cause and ministry of Christ at home and abroad. Intercessory means pray for your missionaries, pray for pastors, pray for people who are going into some of the craziest places all over the world. That's why we have missionaries, to teach us to pray for the lost and pray for places all over the world. I don't know how anybody would get called to preach if they didn't already see a world going to hell and didn't hear about places that needed the gospel. I don't know. I know God does it, but you know, you get close to the heart of God when you start to have a burden for people and say, you know, there's nobody that I know of in central France or out there in the mountains. You know, I was watching those YouTubes in Russia, and you know, every time I see something, I looking at the meteor, and that was cool, but I watch the people. I mean, the rate of suicide in Russia, the people, and the amount of vodka they drink. They live in these, our council housing here are mansions compared to those high-rise places where those people are shoved and cramped, and they live and they die in those places. And there's no preacher out there. There's no preacher preaching to those people in the rural mountains. It just bothers me. Number 11, pray regularly and earnestly that God will make his will and call definite to you. You know, it has to be definite. If somebody can talk you into the will of God, they can talk you out of it. God has to talk you into it. Number 12, rest assuredly in the promises of God and expect him to meet you according to your need, no matter where you're at. And then he will make his will and calling sure. D, the clarity, depth, and the definiteness of the call of God will depend upon, to a great extent, upon the quality of the heart. See, Pastor, I don't understand. Every time I'm looking for the call of God, I don't get it. You know what the problem is? You're trying to get it with your head. It is a work of the heart. The call of God has to be of the heart. The intensity, it'll also relate to the intensity of our fellowship with the Lord and the degree of our willingness to obey the Master and his command and commission. If God asked you to do something, would you do it? Yeah. Jesus said to Peter, you're going to have to hate mother, father, sister, brother, yeah, your own life also. Peter said, we've left it all. I like him, man. He said, done. Didn't even beat he says, you want me to leave my wife? No problem. Don't think you had too close a relationship at that time. But you have to give great credit to the fact that, Lord, whatever you ask, I mean, what a heart. What are you going to say?
No, I read somewhere that he suffered from foot and mouth disease.
He did. He kept putting his foot in his mouth. But, I mean, if his wife was there, she would have fist in mouth. But but the idea is, if the Lord said it, boy, I'd leave it all. He was, yeah, Lord, we've left it all, he said. You got to admit, Peter's heart was right.
Yep.
His brain was 3 gears down, but his heart was okay. All right, number 4, the call of God with special reference to the missionary. God uses at least 5 approaches to the heart of man to make his call impressive and individual. One, through human instrumentality. Human instrumentality. We'll get a bit of this. We'll pick this up next week. I may next week tell you, we'll start on this one so we can give more time to it, but we'll see. You should hear our discussions, Andrew, on Genesis and the Minor Prophets. We never get anywhere. Through human instrumentality, an example is found in the experience of Paul. Paul raises the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? In the city, in the Damascus, the Lord appeared to Ananias and revealed to him the call of Saul. And then somewhat later, we find Saul in Tarsus, and a need arises in Antioch, and the Lord directs attention of Barnabas to go get Saul. Barnabas, therefore, travels all the way from Antioch to Tarsus to extend the divine call to Saul. What am I saying? All right? You know, when a person gets saved, it's between them and God, correct? Mm-hmm. When you get called of God, God is doing the calling. But he uses human instrumentality sometimes to get your attention so that you answer the call. Mm-hmm. So, preaching, different missionary, somebody can come along like Barnabas did. We don't have time, but Paul got so discouraged, he went home. He went back to Tarsus, and he's sitting there. He doesn't know what God wants to do with him. He says, God, save me. I want to preach, but nobody will listen. And took Barnabas coming along saying, you got to see this church. Antioch, it'll blow you away. And Paul and Barnabas end up, Saul and Barnabas, they come to Antioch, and they spent how many years? A whole year there teaching. But it was through Barnabas going and helping him see the call of God. All right? So sometimes God uses humans to help guide you. So don't think that, I'm going to go get away from everybody so God can call me. You may be running away from the call. Okay. Number two, through their local church. And don't disregard this qualification. Acts 13. Acts 13, this is kind of important. And we'll just do number two and we'll stop. Acts chapter 13. Let's see. Barry, would you read Acts 13, 1, 2, and 3?
Well, we were in the church that was at Antioch, saw the prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work of whom I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they said,
all right. How many people had the gift of prophecy and the gift of teaching in that church, according to that verse 1? Okay. Okay. I thought there were five, but there might be six. Barnabas, Simeon, three, Lysias, Manaen, four, and five, Saul. All right, five. They were all gifted, weren't they? Five were gifted, correct? How many were called?
Two.
Okay. Your gifting does not call you. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah,
all right. So somebody who has great ability to preach doesn't mean that they're supposed to be, maybe, a pastor of some church. They're supposed to be in their church until God moves them on. So gifting doesn't call you. It enables you to serve where you're at. Secondly, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So these guys are looking for the will of God, aren't they? The Holy Ghost said to who? Who did the Holy Spirit speak to?
The church.
Say that again.
Church.
He said it to the church, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So don't neglect your local church as part of your calling, because they will notice the call maybe before you will. Okay? Now, not always. John the Baptist wasn't called in his local church. There are some exceptions to the rule. There are always exceptions to the rule, but the exceptions don't make the rule. And then verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, I wonder who's the they there now? Now the whole church fasts. That's right. And the whole church prays. Because they're scared. They're sending these guys off to their doom, their death. These guys are going to the Gentiles, preach the gospel. They could be killed. We better make sure we're doing right. And they laid their hands on them, authorized them, and then sent them away.
Here's they were fasting before they were called.
Not the church. It was...
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted...
Who's they?
The church.
No, sir.
No. So can I hear from self?
Now therefore will the church that was in Antioch, prophets and teachers as boundaries, assume that was called Nature and Lucas also.
Oh, the five of them were fasting.
They were all looking for God's will.
All right.
But only two of them. Many are called, somebody would say. Doesn't quite apply. But they're all serving God, but only two were chosen to do something at that point. Now, you never hear about the rest of them. I'm sure the rest of them were used at different times.
So verse 3, is that only the five of them, or the seven of them?
Verse 2 of them is just the five of them. Sure, verse 3 of them is the whole church.
What?
Sure, it says it here. The Holy Ghost said, would that be right? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul?
Separate to me is what he's saying. Separate to me. And he's speaking, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said to the church, all right, if you want the whole church fasting and praying, it's okay. A church should fast and pray. But my principle, I think, is these five are searching for God's will.
It doesn't say it to the church. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that's what for you, wise, right? The Holy Ghost says, separate me. Yeah, so he's only... Good, all right, the church, which is separate. No, what on the church, right? It's the four you meant yesterday, the verse 2.
Yeah.
The verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost separated me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. So that's the five again, right there. And when they had fasted, Tom wrote the five, and prayed, and laid their hands on them, Tom wrote the 2, they sent them away.
It's a possibility.
So, okay.
It's a possibility, but I see it as in the church, as they ministered to the Lord, where? In the church, and they fasted. I think that they're searching for God, but then in verse 3, I think that you now have the whole church fast and pray. Now, it's a possibility. They're in church. It is in that church. Now, whether it's within that exclusive group, I would have danger flags and say, now it ought to be the church that can see it, because every time they have a problem, guess what they do? They bring it for the church. All right. The apostles said, we got a problem here. We got 3,000 Greek people who are not getting fed. And they brought it before the church. So I think the church was fasting and praying. That's how I feel. Okay. So too many believe that they are called, but they need confirmation. And who should confirm? Those who know you. The worst critics actually will be your best friends too. Okay. Some can be called and rejected by a denomination. I know of people... John Wesley, he felt called and he went to his church, which was an Episcopalian church, and he said, license me to preach. And they went, you're no preacher. And he said, okay, bye. And he started the Methodist church, okay?
How about we, Pastor?
Just in number 2 in the local church, and then B, some are called and but rejected by the denomination. But be very careful when you overrule your authority. You don't have number 2 through the local church?
Just have number two.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, those are mine. You just take it. As I thought, okay. Be very careful.
Does that mean if you turn us down to preach, we can just start on a church somewhere?
You definitely can. Everybody's free to do whatever they want, okay? Jesus said, let them alone, all right? But I'd be very careful to do that, because God puts authority in your life. You know, again, you may have an unsaved dad, an unsaved mom, who don't understand why you would do something. You should listen to them, because even though unsaved, God uses your authority. Even unsaved parents can have a good help on you. But don't overrule them unless you are certain to be certain to be certain, because God will hold you responsible for rejecting your authority more than doing the will of God.
Yeah. But Jesus said to Peter, you have to follow me.
Agreed. If God has called you, but you better not just react and think, I'm doing God's will, because whose heart am I really following? My own, usually. Yeah. My heart is deceitful, it says. Why would it use deceitful? And I can think I'm called. I can think the will of God is. I can do what I want. When I better have some confirmation. It's called, in the multitude of counselors make war.
Well, I'm saying, like, if the council thinks that and the church thinks that you are called, but if your mom and dad, does your dad is not saved, whatever.
And they think not. And they want you to go and learn a trade.
Yeah.
Don't fight them, but reason with them, and also take a lot of time fasting and praying to make sure.
Because that was the verse of where the law says that...
Honor your father and your mother first.
Yeah, but the one that you quoted well ago, that not, you have to leave your wife and kids.
That's right. You have to be willing to. That's right.
What about if the whole church is your call, but you don't think your God at all?
That actually brings up this situation. This situation is Paul and Barnabas evidently did not feel that they had this great call on their life, and the Holy Spirit spoke to everybody. So I think Paul and Barnabas heard the call as well, but it was to the church that they were most... I would not. No. I think, the call of God, every time I find the call of God in somebody, he's always talking to the person. So I don't think that the church doesn't go, I think you're called to do this. You have a situation, just what you're asking, where I think everybody knew, not just Paul and Barnabas. Everybody knew they were called. Not, Well, I believe, you know, we've all had a meeting, and we believe Graham is called to leave his wife and go to Siberia and preach to those people out there by the meteor. No, that's a cult, and you never find that in the Bible. Every time God's talking to Elijah, he doesn't have so-and-so go and talk to. There's the call of God is always personal, but he confirms it through human instrumentality or through a church will confirm it. It's just getting counsel, getting somebody else's viewpoint on it. Like when you fall in love, if you fall in love. Mm-hmm. You need to say, am I ready for this girl? Are we ready for marriage? You may think you are, but you get other people's, you get wisdom from people in your life. All right? Let's stand. All right, Tony, pray for us, fourth of order.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you what we've learned. Lord, we come to you with honours and praise and glory and blessings upon your name. As I said, Lord, we thank you. Bring us back tomorrow, Lord, for church and look forward to it. I hope everything goes well today, Lord, in the planet. I know there's a few of them going off there to bring the kids with them, excuse me, to spend some fellowship, Lord, with the kids. And that's good as well, Lord.
Amen.
Because they're the future of the church and we've got to put a lot of time and effort into them. Lord, once again, thank you for today. Bless us all. Keep us safe. Bring us back tomorrow morning. We ask this in Jesus' loving name. Amen.
Amen. Well, amen, guys.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I need those. Thanks. I need those. How you guys doing on your outlines for Genesis and your looking at the life of a prophet?
Work in progress.
It says Jesus. The Jews are not the forgery.
Yeah.
But it was like in the front. It was like, I know it was like front page, but it was in the Israel.
My house. My house. Thank you.
Look at these kids!
And teenager, you're a helper, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me see. Can they come up and pick her up? Didn't Nita bring her?
No, I didn't see Sarah.
Did Sarah come in? No.
Maybe they're going to get you now.
All right.